Mets. Todd's life has been championships, and Mike's have been regrets. Apples and pinstripes from spring train until fall. Apples and pinstripes, they're talking baseball. Apples and pinstripes from spring train until fall. Apples and pinstripes, they're talking baseball.
Episode 11 of Apples and Pinstripes. Did I talk softer that time? Normally my first sentence blows your eardrums out.
That's why I took my headphones off my head, because for some reason once you hit record, yeah, and you like say, "Hey, welcome everybody," like,
but it's, I really don't,
super loud,
it's,
for some, yeah, no, it's, I, just, but it sounds, I don't know why it does that.
The way it starts recording for some reason, I don't know. But anyway, welcome to the show. It's episode 11 of Apples and Pinstripes. I'm Todd Emanuele. That's Mike Borkowski. Hi, Mike.
Hi.
Kind of already established the hellos.
Hi.
Hi. I'm wearing my, I really love it. So
same,
that's why I'm wearing.
Same hat as last week.
Same hat as last week. I got my 2020 BP Yankees low profile new era. I said that all out of order hat. And I love it. And I said 59.50. Yes. And I did say before that I never would own this hat. I did get it for my birthday, and I love it. Thank you, Mom. She told me that she couldn't quite remember which kind of hat I liked. She couldn't believe there was so many choices of hats, and she had to go back and listen to an old episode to see what kind of hat that her son, the diva, wanted. That's what she
and
said.
And size, too, right? She had to get the size with it, too.
And she got the size right, too. But did you hear what I said about the diva thing?
Yes. On-field
she
diva.
She had to throw that in there. The on-field diva hat. But, yes, that's what I'm wearing again. I've been wearing it everywhere except when I sleep. And during my time at work. I have it with me at work, though, on my desk. I wear it to work and from work. Anyway. that's my hat story for today.
You're not allowed to wear it at work?
No, they won't let. Well, I don't know. They it's probably frowned upon. No one else wears hats. I could try it and see, but I really don't want to get in trouble. I mean, I could always just take it off.
What are they
going
to do? So, say, take it off.
Hey, take your hat off.
You're fired.
That would not be good. What do you got on today? Before we started recording, I asked, what is that hat? Because I've never seen that one, I don't think. But now that I'm thinking about it, I think you told me about it before. But you said, let's save it for the show. You know how this works. So tell me, what do you got on?
This is a 7-line, 3930 stretch fit. Royal blue, and then on the front it's got orange New York State, basically, and then on the top it's kind of got like buildings coming out of it, like a skyline.
Oh, I didn't even notice that. Yeah,
and
that's
then it's
cool.
it's got white stitches, baseball stitches, which I've had this hat for a while, but it's pretty cool now because not all of, but the Mets have now single A, double A, triple A, all in New York State, and of course, yeah, New York Mets, New York State. So yeah, this encompasses the entire state of New York.
Look at you.
And then on the back, it's just got the 7-line logo.
Oh, does it? Oh, I like their logo. They have a cool logo.
Yeah.
It's in like a Mets font, right?
Yeah. Let me show you, Todd. Our listeners can't see.
Show the audience. Oh, yeah. I like that. Yeah, that's cool.
Just T7L on the back.
We
got
to try to get that guy from the 7-line on the show. The one who went down to spring training. I don't know if we talked about it on a previous episode. Is that his name? That yeah. was, I watched that whole, it was like 12 minutes long, his vlog of spring training. What an awesome
time.
When he
went to fantasy camp?
Yeah, or fantasy camp. Yeah. That's right, not spring training. I meant fantasy camp. I knew what I meant. And yeah. But don't you know him? Kind of?
Yeah. I've done
Let's
some work
get
for
him on
in
the show.
Past.
I think that's fascinating to talk about that. Considering how we both have fantasy camp like on our bucket list, to talk about that and just the seven line in general and all their stuff. I mean, they come to Syracuse. They've come, well, they came last year and they're planning on coming again this year, right?
Yeah.
To do a, to do a
go
game
on sale pretty soon.
Yeah. And you guys are, you went to that last year.
It was awesome. It was amazing.
What did they give? They gave you all kinds of stuff for the price of the tickets, of course.
You had to buy a special ticket, but yeah, you got a jersey, a hat. You got a you got a ticket that gave you like a free hot dog, free burger, free drink. And after the game, we got to go on the field and take a group picture, and it was awesome.
Yeah, that really. I mean, I know a lot of Mets fans that live in the area, obviously, and well, not obviously, but they live in the area. They all went to that game, and they all had like the time of their lives hanging out with everyone from the Seven Line. So, what is it, Seven Line Army?
Yes,
giving them a massive plug here, but that's all good because they've got a cool thing going with their merchandise and just their social media and stuff. It's good stuff.
And they also they go to road trips. They've been all over the country. They've been to San Diego. They were there when Bartolo Colon hit his home run in San Diego. The seventh line just happened to be there. Yeah.
That, if you've never seen that, you have to Google the video of him hitting that home run. That he took like 7 minutes to run around the bases. I don't think that's because he was showboating. That's just how fast he runs. But that was great, Bartolo Colon hitting that home run. If you've seen him swing before, he's famous for like swinging and his helmet falling off. But he actually hit one out. That was pretty funny and awesome story. So yeah, work on getting that Darren from the Seven Line on the show, will you? Shoot him a DM or something. That'd be cool, right?
Yeah.
I mean, wouldn't you enjoy that?
Well, sure.
Yeah.
He's got his own podcast too. Orange and Blue thing. Yeah.
Oh. Well, so there you go. Maybe we could do a little cross promotion or something. I think that's a good idea. I just thought of that. You know, as you're showing me that Seven Line logo, I'm like, oh, I remember that video from when he went to fantasy camp. That was really cool. So anyway, Seven Line, go check him out. And Bartolo Colon's home run, go check it out. What are we going to talk about today? We're going to talk about baseball cards. That's going to be the main conversation. And one other thing that that we both wanted to talk about was the past few days, ESPN has been putting games on and miking up multiple players during the games. I haven't seen the Yankees stuff yet, but I saw some of the Mets stuff with Pete Alonso pretending he was an announcer, and it's just so awesome. But I want to spend some more time talking about that. Why don't we take a break, come back with the second segment and talk about that, and we'll see how it goes from there. Sound good?
Are you asking me?
Yeah, I'm asking you.
Are you asking the audience?
Well, I'm waiting for the audience to answer. Good, yeah. Okay, all right. Well, we'll be
back.
What
do you think, audience?
Yeah.
Clap two times.
We'll take a break. Back with more of Episode 11 of Apples and Pinstripes after this. Back on Episode 11, Apples and Pinstripes. I'm Todd Emanuele. That's Mike Borkowski. And, we're talking about miking up players. You know, and you see it during the All-Star game. You see it, you know, in spring training and stuff like that. I wish they would do this all season long. But the problem is, I think you'd have players being like, no, I don't want to do that because it's going to be distracting. Don't you think that is what it would come down to? Because I think it's a great idea to grow fans of the game, to be right in there. Don't you think players would be their season?
I love it during spring training and All-Star game, but you know what's going to happen. Someone will be in the field and they'll be talking. You can't have them. I wouldn't think you could have them talking to the announcers. Because that would be a little weird. Well, I mean, that's almost like...
Definitely.
But also, like, you know, if you hear a guy mic'd up during a game and then he makes an error, you know people are going to go nuts. Like, oh, why don't you concentrate on the game? What are you doing talking? You know, people are going to lose their minds. So, and I would probably do that too. Like, all right, enough with the with micing up the players. Concentrate on the game.
As long as they're not talking to the announcers, I don't think it would be a distraction, though, because they wouldn't have someone talking in their ear if they just are mic'd up. And I saw something with Pete Alonso, actually. Is this actually happening where they're putting microphones in first base?
I just was going to say that Pete Alonso gave permission. I don't know how it's his permission to give.
For all Major League Baseball, Pete Alonso gave permission?
Yeah. Pete Alonso has given permission to mic up all the bases. He's the mayor of baseball now. It was kind of weird now that I think about it. Like, yeah, Pete Alonso said it's okay to mic the base.
That's the same thing I saw. It's like, is it just for Mets games then? Are they asking one person from each team for approval? Or I think it's a good idea. And it's, you know, it's the same basic idea. And then the player won't have to have the actual microphone on them, which is, you know, possibly distracting too. If they have, you know, battery pack on them and stuff like that, like they have to.
Yeah. Cause I was watching that Mets game yesterday with Dom Smith and Jeff McNeil and JD Davis were mic'd up, and they're going up to bat with a big mic pack in their back pocket. You know, you can't do that during a game. And then Jeff McNeil turned a double play, and as he was turning the double play, the earpiece fell out of his ear. So he couldn't hear him anymore.
They'd have to improve the technology before they actually.
Yeah. And also they kept
games.
Dom Smith kept losing the announcers in his ear. Like for the longest time, he couldn't hear them, and they kept trying to get him back, and it wasn't working. It was, it's getting frustrating, but.
So putting mics in bases then is actually a really good idea. If they'll pick up the sound around there,
sure.
It won't distract the guys at all, and they'll never even know or, you know, pay attention.
I don't know how in the season you could do it real time though. Like, you know, also with, you know, if you want to keep it clean on the air.
Well, they put it late. All the broadcasts have a 5 second, at least a 5 second delay.
You're going to be muting every 5 seconds.
Right. But, and that's part of the game. What are you going to do? I mean, look at what happened to Aaron Boone last year with his Savages rant that he didn't think anyone would hear every single word of that, but the stadium was kind of quiet that day. And they had a lot of hot mics right around the dugout, and you could hear every single thing he said.
Or the classic Terry Collins and the jackpot with the umpire.
yeah. That one, I don't even know how that one came about, because
the umpires have to be mic'd so that they can, monitor what's going on, but it was not supposed to be leaked out.
That's what happened. The audio was leaked out then. Yeah, and that was classic. If you haven't seen that one, that's another great one with the umpire. Well, I can't remember the umpire's name, but there are T-shirts involved now with that saying on there about the jackpot. Google Terry Collins jackpot video and you'll find it. And it's spectacular. And Noah Syndergaard, a big part of that one. Playing dumb.
Ooh, I wasn't trying to hit him.
Threw the pitch behind the guy's head. Anyway. Microphones in baseball are good. If you're trying to grow the game, I think it's a good idea to get younger fans involved. If you're actually in the game, I think it's great. Now, yeah, the swearing and all that is one thing. There'd have to be obviously there'd be a delay, but that's one thing to worry about. But if you put them in the bases, if Alonso has agreed to, I think it's great.
But there's been times where they have mic'd either the base or players, and then they won't show it in real time. They'll say, hey, look what happened last time so-and-so was on first base, you know,
right.
In
between innings and stuff. I've seen that for years, I guess.
Yeah.
But to have it live, how would that even work though? Live during the game, because wouldn't they just be talking over the announcers?
Announcers would just have to stop talking.
Well, that's not going to be good for some announcers that like to talk. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure you could do it during a regular season. It was amazing to watch it yesterday. It was so great. Like, you know, Dom Smith was up, and first pitch he almost hit one out.
Yeah.
And it didn't get out, and then Jeff McNeil and JD Davis are razzing him, you know. Oh, it was hilarious.
Well, and the whole Anthony Rizzo Chris Bryant thing. Did you see that from the Cubs game the other day?
That was great.
Yep. Anthony Rizzo saying, I think a fastball's coming. Somebody bang for me. A little shot at the Astros. That was great. And then he ripped a line drive off the sing off a fastball. And they're like, oh, good job there. He knew it was coming. And Chris Bryant hits a foul ball. It was a deep drive down the left field line. He rounded first, you know, the ball lands foul. And he's like, oh, man, I'm too tired. Now I'm tired. I got to go back and hit again. just that part of the game. You never get to see that stuff. Cool, but they definitely would have to figure out the logistics of it better to make it work during the regular season. Cause I don't know. I don't know how it would work, but. And we got to look more into the Pete Alonso thing. Like, why is he giving approval for this? I like Pete and all, but I don't know why he gets to say that that's okay for baseball to do. All right. So anything else with microphones you want to talk about? I haven't seen the Yankees. They held a whole Yankee game with the microphones, and I haven't seen one clip.
I watched a little bit of it. They had Brett Gardner was out in center field. I was watching the game.
Oh. See, I was too. I was watching it on Yes and not ESPN.
Right. So they had A-Rod, and because A-Rod was in the booth, so him and Gardner were talking. It was good.
And is that the game where A-Rod condemned the Astros and said that, you know, he had the longest suspension in the history of baseball? And
oh, I didn't hear that.
Yeah, it was a big rant, I guess. He went on that some people are complaining about the people that hate Alex Rodriguez, I guess. But from what I heard of it, it made perfect sense and was actually, you know, pretty smart thing for him to say. I don't know. What do I know? But I'm not a huge fan of A-Rod, but he's not a bad announcer. If he would just get rid of that shush in his voice that drives me absurdly. What's the word I'm looking for?
Insane.
Insane, yeah, not absurd, insane. Drives me insane when he shushes.
He is very good in the booth, though.
He is. He loves baseball. He has great insight, and he was a great player. Even if he took steroids, he would have been a great player without steroids. But people just don't like, a lot of people don't like him. But it's like the whole Barry Bonds thing. You know, people will always hate him. All right, well, we want to talk some baseball cards?
Sure.
We'll do that. Coming up on Apples and Pinstripes after this. Back on Apples and Pinstripes, episode 11. Todd Emanuele and Mike Borkowski. And baseball cards. Something that a lot of people have collected over the years, myself included. I started collecting them when I was a little kid, and I still have most of the cards that I've, you know, had when I was a kid in my basement here. And I don't even know a number of how many I have, but I have, if you ask my wife, it's too many. But I love them. I've always loved it. I'm 44 years old now, and I still collect baseball cards. And I thought I would get my son into it, and he would do it with me so I wouldn't feel bad about buying baseball cards in my 40s. And he doesn't want anything to do with them. And he used to. We used to line them all up by team, and he would separate all the teams. And he learned all the teams but from the baseball cards and stuff when he was younger. And now he's almost 14. He's like, I'm not going to collect baseball cards. I don't want anything to do with them. Okay, fine. I'll just collect them by myself. I don't buy anywhere near as many as I used to, but when did you start? Have you been a big baseball card collector?
I was when I was a kid. I had books and books and books and books and books of with all the, you know, the pages and with sleeves, and I had tons of them. And yeah, I would go to the Actually, my older brother would take me to the comic book store. It's funny because he was into comic books and I was not. I was into baseball cards. So store we went to, he would buy comic books and I would go into the other side where the baseball cards were, and I would look at the baseball cards.
So you're telling me there was a time where Mike Borkowski was not into comic books?
Yeah, when I was young, possible? A lot younger.
I thought you've always been into them.
I didn't get into comics until I was like 13.
Really?
Yeah.
You just blew my mind. I thought it was something that you were into from when you were a little kid.
I mean, I was a little bit. I liked to draw, and I would get, like, I would go to the store with my friend and buy Spider-Ham comics at Wilson Farms.
So you bought comic
when
books
I was younger.
Before you were into them?
Yeah, and I would like to draw. I would look at the comics, and I would, like, draw them and stuff. But I wasn't, okay. I wasn't, like, a big, like, comic book collector and, like, into all that stuff.
When you were little and you would buy comic books and draw them, were you able to draw them exactly like what the comic book looked like? Obviously, you're a talented artist and stuff, but was that there when you were that young?
Probably not exactly, but I mean, they're pretty good, I guess. They were good enough to where people encouraged me to keep going, you know?
Well, and you've obviously that's turned into your life, your career. So,
right.
Good job, people encouraging you to keep drawing.
Encourage your kids when they're good at stuff or even when they're not.
Right.
Because if you don't encourage them, they're just going to be like, oh, I guess I suck at this. Goodbye.
Right. We were just having a conversation with my son about that last night with his trumpet. He had a big concert last night. He was asked to be in like the all county band. And he told the teacher without talking to us or anything first that he didn't want to do it. So they said, okay. And he just told us last night that he just didn't feel like doing it because he didn't think he's that good of a trumpet player. Meanwhile, he's a very good trumpet player and should be on the Owl County band, but he decided not to do it. So we were not very happy about that last night because we would have encouraged him to do it had we known he was asked to do it. But when you leave it up to a 13, almost 14-year-old kid that has, you know, other stuff going on, he didn't want to take the time to do that. He's more worried about his grades and doing other stuff. You know, he's taking honors classes, so he's got a ton of homework and stuff this year. He didn't want to take on something else, but we could have made it work. It's the whole thing. Encourage him.
But
you never know. He could turn into Louis Armstrong.
But does he enjoy playing the trumpet?
He does. I just don't think he wants to take on something extra. He doesn't enjoy extra stuff as much. You know?
That's a touchy thing too with, like, yes, you want to encourage kids, but if they don't enjoy it, like, you can't force them into doing it.
You definitely
not
can.
Saying that you would be doing that, but like a lot of people, you know, force their kids to do stuff that the kids don't enjoy.
When it comes down to it, it's his decision not to do it. My wife and I both would have encouraged him to do it because it would look good on his high school records, whatever, as he's heading toward, you know, college and stuff, that he was in this all county band. If he really pushed himself, he would have been great at it and it would have worked. But when it comes down to it, it's his final decision. Even if we encouraged him, he could have just said, I'm not going to do it. And that's the end of the story. I'm not going to force him to do it because what's that going to do? It's going to make him not want to play trumpet ever again. He'll just get totally be sick of it. I don't know. And it's like baseball too. Like he enjoys it, but I'm not going to force him. If he 1 year says I don't want to play anymore, what am I gonna do? I can't make him go try out for the team.
You're gonna cry.
I would secretly come home and cry in a corner. Yeah, but I'm not gonna make him do it. And I tell him that when he's like, I don't want to go to practice today, being a teenager that he is, like, friend, you gotta go. You're letting your teammates down if you don't go.
Okay, I'll go.
But if he just said, you know what, I'm done with this and I don't want to do it anymore, I'm not going to stop him from, you know, not wanting to do it. But he's got to have something. Anyway, we're getting way off the topic here.
Baseball cards, everybody.
Baseball cards, yes. Parenting. Parenting teenagers is fun. You know that.
Oh, yeah.
It's fun. My older daughter is turning 17 in a month. And it's funny, like, you hear, you know, teenage girls can be, you know, they argue a lot, you know, they're moody, blah, blah, blah. She really hasn't been. She has moments, but we've been lucky with her. I don't know. So I would say you complain about teenagers, but she's been pretty good the whole time, at least to me. She likes to fight with my wife. Baseball cards. Love them. So do you have like full sets? from when you were younger, or did you just have books? You didn't ever collect sets?
I would just buy, I think maybe one year for either Christmas or my birthday, I think I got a full set. But I would just buy packs here and there, and then I would get like the price guys and see for some reason I just remember when I was a kid, even though I was a Mets fan, like the most coveted card was the Don Mattingly rookie. Like everyone wanted the Don Mattingly rookie card for some reason. Was it 83 or 84?
Yeah, I can't remember now.
Everyone wanted that card.
I can see the card in my head.
I think the 85 Mattingly was like everyone wanted that one too for some reason. But like I just
have that one.
I just remember those were like the big cards that everyone was after, especially because a lot of the kids I grew up with were Yankee fans. So
Ricky Henderson rookie card was another one from 82 with the Oakland A's.
Yep.
I can see that card in my head too. I never had that one, but
Strawberry rookie from 83 and
Ken Griffey Jr. Those rookie cards are, I think that card, the Ken Griffey Jr. rookie card was like 89, I believe. Yeah, 88 or 89. That was like the card for the longest time that everyone wanted, but it turned out to be like the most produced rookie card ever. So it's worth nothing.
They talk about that in that Jack of All Trades documentary, right? Where Upper Deck like overprinted.
Yep.
They overprinted and like saturated the market, and it's worth absolutely nothing now.
It's worth zero. I have like 10 of them. And they're, if you look at a price guide, they're worth like 25 cents. And it's Ken Griffey Jr., Hall of Famer, his rookie card, because they mass produced it so much. That's where I heard that from, is that Jack of All Trades documentary. That's a great documentary, but it kind of takes a right hand turn from baseball cards, kind of like we just did a little bit ago.
Right. It's sort of about baseball cards, but it goes like, it takes a right turn.
Right.
It's very interesting and it's very good. I recommend it.
Yeah, excellent. And the guy that
created it,
it's on Netflix. He even said this was not what this documentary was supposed to be about. It's supposed to be about
like fighting baseball with his producer about like what are we making a documentary about here?
You should go check it out. If you like baseball, if you like baseball cards, and if you like stories of families and struggle, I guess. I don't know how else to say it without giving too much away, but it's a great story and very interesting. Not at all what I expected.
But if you like when things go off on tangents we do.
Like we do. Oh my gosh. Baseball cards.
Let's talk about baseball cards.
The first box set I ever got was my friend Kevin, who you know, who's a Mets fan, in 1989. He gave me, just out of the blue, like him and his dad pulled up to my house. I'll never forget this. They had they both had on like New York Mets 1986 World Series champion starter jackets. You know, those old starter jackets. And he handed me a box of cards. He goes, here, this is for you. I'm like, oh, wow. It was 1990 Score baseball card set. And it was the first complete set I ever owned. I still have it. Fascinating, right?
It wasn't just the Yankee set, it was
the whole box. The entire set of those cards. And I'm trying to remember, there's one really valuable card in there that turned out to be valuable after, but I don't know if it is anymore. And I can't remember what it is now. But I remember thinking when I heard that, oh, that's the set I have. And I had that card, but I can't remember what it is now. Shoot. But that was my first set. Now I have other ones from the 80s. It's fun, baseball cards from like 86 and beyond, for a long time, all through the 90s, really weren't worth or aren't worth anything because they were so overproduced. And now baseball cards, they've kind of gone back. You know, there's so many different kinds now, and they still produce a ton of them, but they have so many insert sets that are, you know, rare, that are actually worth some money. I've gotten some cards over the last few years, just pulled randomly out of a pack. I sold one for $200. I sold another one, a Dansby Swanson rookie card, for $75, or whatever kind of card it was. It was a special one. But I had I pulled a Bob Gibson autograph card out of a pack of Gypsy Queen, Topps Gypsy Queens, and I sold that for like $100. So now you can actually make money now buying baseball cards, but it's a gamble. You spend, you know, the boxes. We have some cards with us here today, actually. We're going to open up. But, like, the Topps Series 1, what are they called, blaster boxes?
Yeah. I don't even know what these are called.
Is it a blaster box or is that the smaller box? I can't remember. But these boxes are, like, $20. And
right. There's 99 total cards.
You might get absolutely nothing in there, but if you get one good card that you could sell on eBay or wherever, you'll make your money back and then some. So it's a gamble.
It says right on the side of the box what your odds of getting certain inserts are, and they list every single insert.
And it's the whole side of the box, and it's in tiny little print, and I can't read that very well.
So but, some of them are pretty easy to get, and some of them are, you know, ones. The platinum card is one in every 423,000 packs that you open. Oh. You will get one.
But
that looks like one of the hardest ones to get.
In the Gypsy Queen cards, they have these print. I think other ones do it too. But over the years, they do these printing plate cards where they take the actual color, like, what are they called? Plates, the printing plates. There's like how many for each card? There's like four or five different plates they use for each card to get all the colors to print on them. And they run the whole series through of, you know, however many hundreds they're printing out for that day. But they take the printing plates separately and they insert them in packs. And they are one of one. So there's only one of them. That's one card I got was a Bryce Harper when he was... It might have been his rookie year or his second year. It was a printing plate of one of his cards, and I sold that for $220. It was one of one. So there's stuff like that, and those are not easy to get. It was just random in a pack. I pulled it out, and boom, I sold it for that much money. And you take a chance, too. Do I hold on to it? Will it be worth more later? And then, you know, things happen, and the card's not worth it. You got to sell it when you first get it. Like, I have an Aaron Judge card. That is before it was when he first got drafted, like pre minor league anything. He was just signed by the Yankees, and it's signed by Aaron Judge. That thing right now is worth over $200. But if he keeps staying hurt and never plays, the price will go plummeting down on it. So I don't want to sell it though, because I like Aaron Judge. So it's the gamble you take. What are you looking at there?
I'm just looking at the side of the box. There's, like, I'm looking at, like, where they have the ratios of, you know, which cards are. But then they have on the bottom here, because there's some sort of, like, contest, and it says potential Canadian winners will be required to first correctly answer the mathematical skill testing question.
What?
Include on a 3x5 card the answer to the following skill test question. 8 times 8 plus 4 minus 17 equals...
Is it different in Canada than what it is here? Why do Canadians have to answer that?
There must be a reason for that. I wonder what that is.
Oh, I got to look that up. I've never seen that before. 8 times 8 divided by 4 minus 17. 8
times 8 plus 4 minus 17 equals.
Oh, yeah. I don't have my glasses, my reading glasses. That's a really small print. I'm old. But do you have contacts in?
Oh, and then, no, I don't. I can see close up. I can't see far away.
Okay.
And then for U.S. residents, you have to hand print your name and complete address on a 3x5 card.
But U.S. residents don't have to complete a math test.
You have to do a math problem. Wow.
I don't get that. Why did they have to do math? But Americans don't. If I was Canadian and a baseball fan, I'd be livid.
I'll have to get my friend who works. I guess we should do like a full do I get to do a full disclosure thing?
Sure.
I've been doing work for Topps, non-sports stuff. I've been doing like Marvel artwork for their app. They have a Marvel app. So a buddy of mine works at Topps. We should get him on the show, and he's a huge Pirates fan.
Oh,
so we should get him on. Okay. Talk some Pirates baseball.
Yeah.
Be rough for the Pirates in next. Well, next it has been for a couple years, but
yeah, they're not going to be any better this year.
I have to ask him, why do Canadians have to do math to win?
Right.
I don't even, what do you win? I don't even know what the contest is.
We need to get to the bottom of this. Why do Canadians have to do math when Americans don't to enter this contest? That's what's that word? When what is that? When you're xenophobia?
You have to do math?
Is that a word? Xenophobia?
It's a word. I don't know if it's what you're trying to say.
In the right context. That's not right.
Americans probably should try to do more math.
Yeah. Less meth, more math.
Anyway, should we open up a couple packs and see what we got here?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's.
Oh, God. First pack. Got, by the way,
what? On the box.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
The mayor of baseball, Pete Alonso.
The mayor of mic'd up bases.
The giver of permission.
The first card I opened. Look at this first one I opened. You can see it.
Alex Bregman.
Ugh.
Let's see if I got it. Oh, I got Miggy Cabrera here.
He's still a thing?
Yeah. He's, what did I see yesterday? He's like 20-something home runs away from like 500 or something.
Yeah. Well, he's a Hall of Famer, no doubt.
He's got 477 career homers. Yeah. So he's 23 away.
He's already over 3,000 hits, too, isn't he?
No, I don't think so. Oh. No, he's got 2,815 hits.
Okay, well,
the thing is, though, last year he only had 12 homers. The year before he had 3. The year before he had 16.
Well,
so
he's been hurt a lot. He's getting old.
Yeah.
Look at this one. Second pack I opened, first card.
Another Bregman.
Alex Bregman. But look at the second card in this pack. This one is in a care package heading to you and your son.
Okay. Oh, the 2-time Cy Young Award winner.
Yes.
Jacob DeGrom. What is that design called? Because that's like a different design than the normal design.
It's prominent baseball players, it says on the back. Oh. It's like a insert set.
Right. So. Do you like the design of the cards this year? I like it a lot better than last year. I did not like last year when they had like last name first, last name last.
Yeah, no.
I did not like that.
Well, look, Pat Corbin from Cicero, New York.
I got a Daniel Murphy, Rockies.
Your favorite? Oh, I got a Zach Wheeler in a Mets uniform.
Yeah, I got that one, too.
You didn't announce that one.
Vladimir I got Aaron Hicks here for you.
Cool. Oh, that's a cool picture. Leaping up against the wall. Aaron Hicks, another guy. Can't stay healthy. Hey, I got a Jeff McNeil, future star.
Nice. This one card is shiny. Hunter Renfro. It's shiny for some reason.
Let me see. Oh. Does it have a number on the back? Like
that's probably worth $1 million.
Does it have something on the back that says one of whatever?
No.
Like in gold?
Just says no. No Mets for me in that
Jock
pack.
Peterson. Whose dad was a longtime Syracuse chief? Stu Peterson. That's his dad. You knew that, right?
Hey, I got a Bregman. Bregman.
Awesome.
You want it?
Nope. Look, I got the Yankees team card.
Ooh.
Ooh, and what is this? Gleyber Torres getting a bucket of water dumped over him by D.D. Gregorius. R.I.P. D.D. Not a Yankee anymore.
I have a 1985 style Gleyber Torres.
Ooh. I will trade you for that one.
I wish the audience could have seen your face on that.
Yeah, that's a nice one. I like
I'll
that.
I'll set that aside for you. I got George Springer, whatever this, what is this thing called?
Trash can?
I got a trash can card. Prominent baseball players.
What is with all the Astros? I got Carlos Correa. Another pitcher guy I never heard of. Who's that? Oh, Mike Fiers. The hero of many. Look at this Randy Johnson one. It's shaped like an X.
Ooh. That's got to be. What is that?
It's nothing.
Let's look on the side of the package here and see. Is there an X card? What's it called?
I don't know. Cooperstown Collection? It doesn't really say. Average game score 2000s. What? I don't know.
It's hard to figure out what these even are. Like, well, yeah. Wait, Decade of Dominance die cut? Is that what it is?
Yeah, it's die cut. Yeah.
It's one out of 35 packs, so it's pretty common.
I figured it wasn't worth it. The ones that have, like, you know, the numbers on the back, like if they're 1 out of 25 or 50 or 99, those are worth some money. If you ever see those.
RST, I got a James Paxton here.
Ooh, nice. I'll take him. If you're willing.
I got like James five Pax. Yankees here, not a single Met.
Ugh, another Astro. Here's a Met. Dominic Smith.
Yeah. Who was fantastic yesterday on the with
yeah,
being
he was.
Mic'd up.
I saw some of that.
I have a 1985 style Manny Machado.
I got Nico Horner, who I've never heard of from the Cubs. It's his rookie card,
are these
though.
85 style ones.
They must be an insert.
I'm sure they are, but they're probably common too.
Yeah. Yeah, they're probably in every pack.
There's so many, like, it's hard to even figure out what is even rare or what.
This is fascinating audio, though.
I got a prominent baseball player is Vlad Guerrero Jr.
Nice. Yeah, I got a bunch of those, too. I got the DeGrom. I got a
pitcher.
I can't think of his name.
George Ugh. Springer
yeah.
giving
thumbs
the
up.
Double thumbs up.
Thanks
means,
for the thanks for the
means,
bangs.
Means inside fastball.
Yeah. There's another Randy Johnson.
Yeah.
Oh, look, it's a Sean Doolittle. Prominent baseball player. Exciting.
So then there's this special thing inside this box that says one exclusive rookie card retrospective RC logo medallion card inside.
That's the rookie card of someone, right? RC.
So
there's like a remote
thick,
control.
It's like a super thick card with like a little gold like rookie card logo inside of it. Commemorative medallion. I got a Brooks Robinson.
Oh, cool. That's cool.
It says, congratulations. You have received a rookie card retrospective RC logo medallion card from 2020 Topps Baseball Series 1.
I have the same thing, except it's not Brooks Robinson. It's Reese Hoskins. Your favorite
Which,
Philly.
By the way, it says, look for exclusive Reese Hoskins highlights cards inside this
They're
box.
They're in every pack, I think.
Is one of the Reese Hoskins highlights him taking 17 minutes to go around the bases when he hit a home run against the Mets?
Only for you.
That was
Kevin Biggio, son of Hall of Famer Craig Biggio. Yeah, that was exciting. I didn't get anything good that I could sell. Maybe some Phillies fan would want to buy the Reese Hoskins. Mike Tauchman. I've never seen a Tauchman card. I'll take that.
Who has?
Well, he was on the Rockies for a couple years. Mike Tauchman's awesome.
I got David. You on David Price card? One of the best Yankees. One of the best Yankees of all time.
Yeah, man. I'll miss him. You just made me sad thinking of that.
Maybe you'll see him in the World Series.
That's exactly it, man. We'll light him up in the World Series. If the Yankees can stay healthy. I got that one, too.
Yeah,
I didn't talk about it. I got a Zach Greinke, too.
Doesn't know what he's talking about.
True. That's Justin Verlander. Don't make me say his name. It's like Voldemort.
Oh, I got one of those X cards, too. Sandy Koufax.
Oh, nice. Oh, yours is better than mine. Well, Randy Johnson's good, too. Can't say he's not good. He's a Hall of Famer.
I got Enrique Hernandez doing the woo.
Wow.
He's doing the Rockettes on his card.
If that was my card, I would be angry. Like, are you serious? That's the picture you chose for my baseball card? He looks like a Rockette, but his like butt is on. It's just there.
Well, what is this? Dang. So you got something you scratch off.
Oh yeah, that's the first Alex Bregman one I have. It's the home run chase.
Yeah.
Where
Josh
you get
Bell,
the code.
Josh Bell.
Oh, that's a good one to get too. Josh Bell's awesome. hits a lot of home runs. You go on and you pick a date that he hits a home run. If you pick it right, then you win something or you're entered in something.
Well, let's see. It says register for the challenge and choose the game date you think this player will hit a home run. If he does, you will win a prize. All challenge registrants will be entered into the grand prize drawing for a trip to the 2021 T-Mobile Home Run Derby. So you'll go to next year's Home Run Derby, not this year's. If you win. Are you there? You're frozen on my screen. Are we live? Is this thing on? Hello? I'll write it and we'll do it live.
Oh, no.
Okay.
Are you there?
So, you go online, you register, and you can win a trip if you choose the right date. So, for instance, I got Josh Bell. If you choose a date, and then if he hits a home run on that day, you are put into a grand prize drawing to win a trip to the 2021 Home Run Derby. So, not even this
year. Oh, that's cool.
Next year's Home Run Derby.
Yeah. Where's the All-Star game in 2021?
I don't know. It's in L.A. this year, right? Dodgers?
Yeah.
Don't remember where it is next year. Hey, I got a Gleyber Torres regular card here. I got a ton of Yankees here.
It's not a single. It's like they know. You got another one?
Well, sort of.
I can't see it. Oh, it's Garrett Cole. Bearded Garrett Cole.
I'll set that aside for you. Oh, I got a Rhys Hoskins production line. What is it? I don't know.
It's probably not worth much.
Some amazing moment that Rhys Hoskins had in his amazing career.
How long has he been playing to get a series of cards about his career? This is his second year?
I don't know.
Or is it his third year? Doesn't even matter. It's ridiculous.
It's too many years.
So what is the most prized card you own? Do you have a card that...
I don't even... Like... No. Like I said, for some reason, when I was a kid, that everyone wanted that Mattingly rookie. I never got one. Because when I was a kid, I think it was like $35. And when you're a kid, $35 might as well be a million. At least when I was a kid, anyway.
Is that any different now?
Not really.
$35. Whoa. You're not buying baseball cards with it now, though.
I opened up. How many packs are in here? There's 7 packs. There's 99 total cards in this box. And I'm on my last pack right now. I just got a bunch more Astros. I got Carlos Correa.
Yeah, it's like they loaded Astros into there on purpose.
There's another Rhys Hoskins card. Great. And, Javi Baez. Yeah, I got 0 Mets out of 99 cards in that box.
And let me see how many Yankees I got. Real cards, I got 0 Yankees, but I've got the team card and the picture of Gleyber Torres getting a bucket of water dumped over his head.
Counting Garrett Cole, I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 Yankee cards out of 99 cards and 0 Mets.
Sounds like a win for me. Yeah. Nice. Thank you. Looking forward to that. I have a whole stack of cards for you and for Troy that are Mets related.
Speaking of, I don't know if people know about, because I didn't know about it until you told me about it, but you can get your own custom cards made at tops.com.
Yep.
And
very cool.
They are surprisingly inexpensive.
Right?
You can go and these look like actual real Topps cards. Like I now get them made for my kids every year when they play sports. You know, my son plays baseball, my daughter played volleyball and soccer and softball. I get them made cuz it's only you get 20 cards for $10. Yep. You upload your picture. You put all the information in there. You put the logos on there. You write what goes on the back.
And they come to you. The up-to-date designs. And you can pick different years' designs if you want to change them up.
Well, I think the most recent date they have is 2018. They don't have 19 or 20. But they have like 18. They have 17. They go all the way back to like the 70s and the 50s, I think. Different designs. they don't have every year, but they have a lot of them, and they don't take that long to get to you. I think like a week or two after I ordered them, I had them, and they are actual real Topps cards, and I love them. They're so cool.
They come in a cool plastic case and everything, and I did it every year for, 5 or 6 years for my son when he was playing in T-ball, and I would make up like ridiculous stats on the back and write funny things on the back, and I cherish those cards. They're great, and I've had him sign a bunch of them.
But you think about like the packages you get. If your kid plays Little League and they have like picture day and they have the packages you have to purchase, and you get those cheesy like fake baseball cards that don't even really look like real baseball cards. Because I was telling a lot of parents last year, because there were issues we had with like picture day and everything, and I told them about the Topps thing. Like, it's an actual real Topps card. Like, I can't even stress it enough. Yep. Like, it looks like a real Topps card. It's so cool.
And you get 20 of them for $10. You can hand them out to your family, and everyone's like, "Oh, this is cool." Because I've done that over the years. Everyone loves them.
My parents put them on their refrigerator with all their pictures of their grandkids. It's awesome.
There you go. So a nice plug for Topps. We got to get your friend on so we can talk about this stuff and why Canadians have to do math to be entered into the contest and not Americans. I still can't get past that.
And I don't even know what the contest is.
Yeah, right. Why do Mexicans not have to do math or anything? They're not even listed on there.
And then it also says, man, this is weird. It says no purchase necessary, but I don't even know what the contest is, honestly. And then it says open only to U.S.
To win the trip to the Home Run Derby, you said.
Is that what it is? I don't know.
I thought that was a scratch-off card. That's right.
This is on the side of the box.
Oh, yeah, I have no idea.
And it says, look for winning tickets, celebration of the decades. But it says open only to U.S. and Canadian, except Quebec residents. So if you live in Quebec,
you're out of luck. Soul. But you don't have to worry about doing the math if you're in Quebec. Don't come around our door, says Topps.
And then, yeah, if you're in Quebec, take a hike. if you're a Canadian, because they speak French, I don't know.
They like hockey in Quebec.
And if you're Canadian elsewhere, you got to do math.
This is fascinating. Math. You have to solve a math problem to be entered.
It's not a hard problem.
Right, it's not hard at all.
Let's figure out what the answer is. Maybe
what we can tell our Canadian listeners. Answer.
Yeah, you can give them if you're in Canada, I'm going to do it for you. Ready? 8 times 8.
Yeah. Do it in your head. Not on a calculator.
I'm not doing it in my head. There's no way. We'll be here all day. I can do minus it. 17. So the answer is 51, everybody. I've done it for you.
That's all you got to remember.
Canada.
Bernie Williams. Canada, yeah, you're welcome.
I just saved you some trouble. You couldn't have done that for yourself.
Nope. That blows my mind. Blows my mind. Maybe it's a joke.
There's gotta be like some weird reason where you find out the reason and be like, oh, okay.
Just put law on the books there or something. Yes. That in order to enter into a contest anywhere, or maybe just in the United States, you have to solve a math problem. Like, is that really
failure to comply will result in all entries disqualified.
It's gotta be a dumb rule or on a book somewhere in Canada.
For some reason, Quebec is not part of it.
Too funny. Too crazy. All right. My dream card has always been a Mickey Mantle card, and I've never owned a real Mickey Mantle card. I have like reprints, but they're not worth anything. Just thinking of like my most cherished baseball card. My signed cards are the one we posted a picture of it during our autograph episode. Those are my prized cards. So like I have autograph cards of all the Yankees core four plus Bernie Williams. What do I call them? The Fab Five. So they're on there. I have Joe Torre, Bobby Richardson, Phil Rizzuto, Paul O'Neill. I told the story of that one. Don Mattingly, And then all the new guys, Judge, Gleyber Torres, Gary Sanchez, Didi Gregorius is on. Just a bunch of signed cards from players, and I love those. They have a cool frame that I have them displayed in.
You got them in packs? Or
Most of them, yes, and from packs. Yep. I bought some of them too.
Because like
one of them I got in person. So
we saw the Heritage pack for 2020, and you can get autographed cards. Every single card. I mean, yes, I know that they're not real signatures, but how are you supposed to know which one is a real one?
That are signed, that are actually signed by the players, say Topps. Signature autograph series. It specifically shows that it's a real autograph.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because we did not get a real one.
Or the fake autographs on every single one of them. But yeah, the ones that have don't have that fake autograph.
I got a how do you say it?
J Hap, man. He's going to have a huge year.
J A Hap.
J. He just goes by J. James Anthony. He's been great this spring so far. He pitched 4 innings last night, or did he? Oh, Mike Ford. He's got his own card now. Built Ford tough. Nice. Look at all these Yankees you got. It's my lucky day.
Yeah, I got a few. Well, I only got in the Heritage pack, I only got one Met. I got Marcus Stroman. Got some former Mets here, Justin Turner.
Yep. Yeah, man.
Never understood what I mean. I didn't know he was going to be the player he turned into, but he was, when he was with the Mets, fantastic off the bench. Got big hits almost every time they put him in.
They traded
played great. They didn't trade him. They just let him walk.
Oh,
they got absolutely nothing for him. They just let him go. Mm-hmm.
That hurts.
Never understood that. Like, I did not think he would be an MVP candidate, but he was a great player off the bench for the Mets. And the reason he didn't play is because David Wright was there holding down third base at the time. And now,
that poor guy. I still feel bad for David Wright.
Yeah.
Does he want to manage or anything? Have you ever?
Sounds like no.
Really?
It sounds like he's just like, all right.
He's done with baseball.
I'm just going to hang it. He's got really young kids and.
Yeah. That's too bad. He's a good guy.
Yeah.
Got handed a raw deal with his injury history. All right. Anything else good in that pack?
Not really.
Call it a day.
Yeah.
Anything else we need to talk about baseball cards? You need to talk about what you've been doing with your artwork, Mr. Big Shot.
Sure.
With your e-space stuff. Can you talk about that?
A little bit. Just what's been put out there already. I've started doing work for East Bay, which, if you don't know what East Bay is.
Where have you been?
Yeah. It's where I've gotten a lot of my sports clothing from over the years. We get the catalog every month? Not something every month, like is it?
It might be quarterly.
Quarterly, maybe. So anyway, East Bay, which is owned by Foot Locker, actually, which I just found out when I started doing work for East Bay and I got paperwork from Foot Locker to fill out. So yeah, I just did a drawing last week that was posted a few days ago of Shaq. They did like a classic versus current, I guess. Yeah. I don't know what they actually call it, but it was Shaq versus Joel Embiid. So I did a drawing of that, and they posted that and said, who would win, Shaq versus Embiid? And every single comment said, duh, Shaq.
Yeah. Well, Embiid can't stay healthy, first of all. But you had that thing had like over 15,000 likes within the first couple of days.
Well, yeah, they posted it on Tuesday. So, like, as of this recording, that was 2 days ago. Yeah. It's got over 15,000 likes. Yeah, so it's been doing well. And I'm going to do some more work for them. So
cool. So look for that. And East Bay doesn't have, like, stores, do they? It's just the cat, like, online stuff, right?
There may be an East Bay store somewhere. I'm not sure.
There should be. surprised I've never seen one, because they have like everything, sneakers, everything, sports clothing, and just sports, not sports apparel, but like sporty apparel, like Adidas and all that stuff.
Yeah, workout apparel, stuff like that. Yeah, I've gotten a ton of stuff from them over the years. That's what I told them when I contacted them on, because I saw that East Bay was posting a lot of artwork.
Yeah.
Like, especially like right after the Super Bowl, they had a bunch of Super Bowl artwork. And so I just DM'd, I slid into their DMs on Instagram.
Creepy. And
I just told them, I was honest. I was like, look, I've been a customer for years, and I'd love to do some artwork. And they said, okay.
Yeah, you're hired. I'm gonna try that and see if they want to see your work first, or did they just hire you spot without even checking?
Of course they looked at my work, yes.
So I can't pull that one off then. I've done some amazing lunch bag art over the years.
Yeah.
But nothing like yours. Oh yeah, listen to that. Yeah.
No,
amazing.
Listen, for someone who's not an artist, it was good.
Yeah, I guess. It's okay. It was fun. And my kids just threw them away because they were forced to. That's the most upsetting part. I have pictures of them. Memories.
You could have had like a gallery.
Oh, yeah. On my refrigerator. It's on my Facebook page. You can go see them. All right. So that's cool. The East Bay thing. So you don't know when the next one's coming out or
next No. Night? I'm working on something right now, which... it might be going on the Foot Locker page instead of the East Bay, which Foot Locker has like 11 million followers. East Bay only has like 700,000. So
can you somehow much
bigger audience?
Can you somehow sneak like the Apples and Pinstripes logo in there?
No.
It's 11 million followers, man. That's just like put it into the crowd on a sign or something.
I'm thankful that even that I am getting tagged in this, because I've done a lot of artwork for giant companies like this where they want to hide who did the artwork, which drives me ridiculous. Insane.
Yeah, and I saw they left your signature on there too, which is cool.
They actually, you know what? I usually put my signature pretty small. They actually told me to make my signature bigger, which I'm so thankful, because I've done stuff where they're like, can you take your signature off of there? And we're also not going to tag you when we post this on social media.
How can they do that?
Yeah, I don't know.
I just think that's so wrong. It's kind of like making Canadians do math to enter a contest. Something not right about it. All right, that's going to do it for the episode today. Episode 11 in the books. That was kind of a talk about baseball cards we had today. Amongst other things, mostly Canadians and math, and not meth, math. Okay. We don't want to talk about that. But we got to do a deeper dive on that. There's got to be an explanation somewhere. It's just fascinating to me. But go check out Mike's artwork on East Bay, and you can find it on any of the social medias and all that stuff. You can find us on the social medias, Apples and Pinstripes. Just search for that. Follow along. Give us some feedback, you know, go on the podcast apps and subscribe to us if you haven't yet, and listen to a new episode every week. And if you haven't listened yet, you got a whole bunch of episodes you can listen to catch up. And it's been a lot of fun, and we'll keep going with it. So check it out. Again, if you want to find me on social media, don't know why, if you see my lunch bag art, just search for Todd Emanuele. And Mike, we can find you where?
MichaelBorkowski.com. All the links to my social media is on there, and I'll be putting after I get a few East Bay under my belt, I'll pop more on my website, but check out my social media. You'll find it on there.
Yeah, it's good stuff. So yeah, go check out all the Shaq comments on the Instagram.
I didn't look through all the comments, but at least there were no comments telling me my artwork sucked, which usually there is, but it was mostly just, you know, Shaq would win just and it comment. Wouldn't even be a contest.
Yeah. It was good to see no comments actually about the artwork, because, you know, there's probably one or two that say, hey, this is awesome. But yeah, there's always that one that says something negative, isn't there? But I didn't see anything. But again, I didn't look through all the comments. People are
to the point where I just don't even look at the comments anymore.
That's the best way to go about it.
I had a couple of people come to my page and tell me that they liked it. So that's nice.
Oh, that's cool. All right. Well, that's there you go. That's all. That's worth it all right there.
were not followers of mine, but found my artwork because of the East Bay, which that's the whole point, really.
That's the point. All right. Get your name out there. And it's nice they put your name on there and actually tagged right. you in it. So good job. Kudos to East Bay. And more success for you in the future coming soon. So check that out on all the social media. Only one false ending today. That's good. That's better than most days.
I don't know. We haven't ended yet.
We are now. That's going to do it again for episode 11. We'll see you next week. The apples and pinstripes. Bye. Bye.
Todd likes the Yankees and Mike likes the Mets. Todd's life has been championships and Mike's has been regrets. Apples and pinstripes from spring train until fall.